The biggest games.
Recce for three, got it to go.
The most compelling stories.
Three of the former players said sons were on this particular Monroe team.
The area's best high school sports coverage.
Throws it down with two hands, the whole hoop is shaking.
That's a 10. That's a 10, baby.
This is Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Yeah, special Thursday night edition of Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania with you from 6 to 8 p.m. tonight right here at 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and available the entire podcast for free on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcasts. We are live from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Pleased as always to be joined by the Dean of Area High School Sports, the man, the myth, the legend, my right-hand man, my partner in crime, Dennis Semrau. I'm Alex Strope. With you, Dennis. It's been a few weeks since the state championship games in boys basketball at the Kohl Center. What have you been up to? I feel like I haven't seen you.
Well, it's getting ready for spring sports. We put the Associated Press All-State team together. And one of the few times we actually, our Players of the Year matched the coaches.
Oh, wow.
With Mr. and Miss Basketball. Now, for people have to understand, Mr. and Miss Basketball are only senior awards. K.K. Arnold was our Associated Press three-time Player of the Year. But after Misty Bass won Miss Basketball 3 years in a row, it was like, no, WBCA decided it's got to be a senior award. But this year, Miss Basketball, Ellie Zeeble from Nina, and Con Knipple.
Yeah, I would say he probably deserved it.
And there were only, on the All-State teams for the AP, there were only three players that were unanimous in the voting. And you know who the third one would have been? It's a guy.
I don't know.
Nick Janowski.
Nick Janowski from Pewaukee, yeah.
Yep.
I was going to say him, but I had a thought maybe years, Chris Davis. Yeah,
yeah, some years he would have been Mr. Basketball, but
oh, yeah.
Con had such a great, and you talk about the impact a player can have on his team. He scores 11 points in a state championship game. Probably could have scored 30, but he, double figure assists, rebounds were close. He made all of his players better, and being able to watch him over this past year, we saw him at the 6-8 tournament, and it was like, wow. And after that, I was like, I got recaps on Twitter of every Pewaukee game and every Wisconsin Lutheran game. So you knew it was going to come down to those two teams for the state championship, and it did. It was one of those times. But Arrowhead had a great run, 4 overtime game.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. And we'll talk with Coach Laura Stobness from Edgewood about the shot clock debate, but that game certainly kicked up that debate on social media.
Yeah, and you look at and Steve Collins was on the broadcast for that semifinal game.
Breaking his record.
Right, and he said his phone was blowing up all over. Everybody said, oh, our record's gone. And we did the state championship game the next night. And then Marquette, Minasali was just an outstanding player for them. They ended up winning. D1 and D2 are kind of anticlimactic. I thought the semifinals were better than the finals.
I would agree with that. The final in Division II, as you just mentioned, two of the players from those teams, Wisconsin Lutheran over Pewaukee, the third time those conference foes faced off. But the third one was all Wisconsin Lutheran and Mr. Basketball, Con Knipple.
And you look at the teams that they beat during the season, they beat teams that I think it were 7-0 against teams that were in the state tournament across the divisions. And then Mineral Point, look, I got to put in a plug for Coach Dan Burrison, longtime member of the WBCA, the organization, used to be in charge of the All-Star Games. He got his first title, and I was on the stats table, on the scores table, doing stats for that one right next to his bench. And the look and just the emotion of them winning their first state championship was tremendous. And when you look at, they were down by 7 points under 30 seconds to play.
Yeah.
And they won the game in the semis. And then to win by a point in the state championship game. You also had another great one, Lakeside Lutheran, winning on a last-second shot to go to state finals. Then they lost to a St. Thomas More team that was tremendous all year, only had one loss. The boys' tournament was great. And then the girls' tournament, all 5 of the state championship games were down to the end. There were no blowouts there. And the best one, of course, was we got a local champion, Coach Stobness, and the Edgewood Crusaders winning their second state title.
Yeah, they won 55-52 over Xavier in the Division III state championship back on March 9th. We will talk with Coach Laura Stavnis coming up in about 5 or 10 minutes or so. Next segment, Coach Laura Stavnis from Edgewood, the longtime head coach, now two-time state champion, will join us. But all in all, Dennis, another really exciting winter sports and basketball slate. But this year is particularly special because the NCAA tournament and the boys' basketball state tournament didn't overlap. So both kind of got to breathe on their own, which was nice, often overlapping the first weekend of the NCAA tournament with the boys' basketball state tournament at the Kohl Center. Not the case this year. That was nice.
It was because the next week I didn't leave my house, I think, for 4 days, except I do a meals run in town for senior citizens. I left Thursday briefly for that and was home, and that was it. I mean, I was glued to the television set. I'm sort of in withdrawal right now when you got basketball 12, 14 hours a day.
Yeah, me too.
And then for the first time, I watched almost all the women's games that I could on TV.
Yeah, me as well.
And with Iowa, with Caitlin Clark, her impact, but not just her. It was, you know, you look at the players. Yeah, a UConn team that was incredible. I had K.K. Arnold from Germantown, who was our three-time player of the year for the Riders. You look at, you know, I was rooting for Utah because that's where Maddie Wilkie
right.
went out there.
Beaver Dam, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, they went out, but I got to watch her play on the, you know, in the big dance. That's right. What she wanted. That's why she transferred out there. And then to talk to some of our local kids, especially for the girls basketball. I started covering that back in the early 80s and how far the game has progressed and the tremendous student athletes we have. And now for it to get the national recognition it deserves. I think you look at women's volleyball, what Kelly has done locally with the University of Wisconsin and pushing it. But as a player, Clark might not be the greatest player, but she's the player who's made the most impact on the game.
Without a doubt.
Because you look at there have been a lot. You know, people don't forget Cheryl Miller, a three-time player of the year. You know, she was playing with the guys. I mean, that's how good she was. Clark's impact. But still to watch her come down and launch like a shot from NBA range, nothing
the
but
logo.
That. And then the passes. She could have had a triple-double, I think, in one of the games, but her teammates couldn't handle like three or four of the passes. They fumbled it or it kind of go through their hands.
It's insane.
So
4.5 million people more watched the women's national championship game on Sunday than the men's national championship game on Monday.
And this year, for the first time, they were going to televise the draft.
Yeah, the WNBA draft coming up on Monday. Caitlin Clark will be the number one overall pick to the Indiana Fever, we assume, coming up on Monday on ESPN.
Kind of hoping for it since her boyfriend works for the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, that works out all right, doesn't it?
It'd be nice to have them both in the same city. And it's unfortunate for Tegan Mullaney and for Taylor Strimler, our local kids, going to Iowa, that Caitlin's going to be gone. But that'll be their – now their task is to keep that program up at the high level it's been at. And they've got a great incoming class.
Yeah, and they've got – those are two of the best players in the state has to offer, both headed to Iowa. We'll catch up with Taylor Strimlow from Verona coming up in about a half an hour, around 6:30 tonight. She will join us on Zimbraconda's Prep Mania. I mentioned Coach Laura Stavnis, state champs in Division III, the head coach of Edgewood, will join us coming up next in the 7 o'clock hour, about 7:15 tonight. We've got to go over some of the new head football coaches in the area. Maybe the best job will join us. Chris Graverson, the new head coach, taking over for the legendary Pat Rice at Wanakee, will join us about 7:15 tonight. And at 7:30 tonight, Lena Gustafson, a senior lacrosse student at Middleton High School, will join us. She's headed to Emerson College out in Boston to both play lacrosse next year and study your favorite, Dennis. She's going to be a journalism major at Emerson College. So I know you wanted to get her on the show because I think you're a little biased when it comes to the college majors.
Well, no, the fact she was also a volleyball player, she was a very good athlete. And lacrosse is now WIA-sponsored sport for the first time.
Yeah, it's really cool. I didn't realize that until you mentioned that to me earlier in the week, Dennis, that lacrosse will now have a state championship recognized by the WIA.
It'll be in Sun Prairie at the Monster Stadium.
that's a small one. Yeah,
4,000? Yeah, I'd like to see that place full.
I think it should be. And, you know, like I've said many times before, the University of Wisconsin at Sun Prairie Stadium, much bigger than my alma mater's football field, the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. Dennis Zembra, Alex Stroff with you. here on Zimbraconda's presentation of Prep Mania. For over 50 years, Zimbraconda has provided the Madison area with quality Honda vehicles. The trusted staff of Zimbraconda's used car dealership will save you time and reduce your car buying stress by finding the vehicle that matches your style. If you're in the market for a new Honda or a used Honda, visit Zimbraconda in Madison today or online, their website, zimbraconda.com, to search current inventory. I gave you the rundown. I'll give it to you one more time. Back-to-back interviews coming up. We've got Coach Laura Stavnis from Edgewood, state champions in Division III, coming up next. And Taylor Stremlow had a terrific season at Verona, part of the Wildcats. 18 points per game, 10 rebounds per game, 9 assists per game, 6 steals per game. All-state, first team as a player and as an academic. First team All-State. We'll catch up with Taylor Stremlow as we put a bow on the high school basketball season. All still ahead right here on Zimbraconda's presentation of Prep Mania. Continuing basketball coverage here on Zimbraconda's presentation of Prep Mania. He's the Dean of Area High School Sports, the great Dennis Semrau, future WBCA Hall of Famer in my eyes. I'm Alex Stroke with you from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Excited to be joined now by a now two-time state champion head coach, the girls' basketball head coach at Edgewood, Coach Stav. Laura Stavnis joins us now on Prep Mania. And Coach Stav, we haven't talked since, but a belated congratulations on the state championship last month at the Resch Center in Green Bay. How's the last month been, winning your second title?
Yeah, it's been a blur, obviously. You know, you get done with it, and you win it, and you got to go right into next. So as a school teacher, you know, I'm just lucky that grades were due right at the same time. So it was kind of like hectic, but you know, I mean, we've had a few weeks now, and so it's kind of sinking in more and more. So, you know, just looking through things, and thanks for having me on.
Yeah, for sure. I imagine a gold ball is a pretty decent excuse to be late on the grades. No, that's a pretty good excuse.
Yeah. I mean, I think there was maybe some leniency in terms of like not having grades up to date and things like that, but you know, that kind of wears thin after a while, too. So trying to stay on top of it and, you know, finish strong for the school year. So,
well, it's a great time for girls basketball high school over women's. What's the impact of Caitlin Clark and Iowa's success and whole NCAA? You know, women drew $18.7 million for that game. What's that do for you as a high school coach and your girls?
You know, obviously, I think more than anything this year, we've been talking about a lot more the women's game as a team, and paying attention to more things. And even at our school, we had like a NCAA, you know, any student could, you know, participate in a pool, and they had men's and women's. So that was really nice. Usually everyone only thinks of men's NCAA pools, but more and more, wherever I've gone, they've had the NCAA pools for the females, and they're talking about it. And obviously, you know, Caitlin Clark has really, you know, given it a huge push in terms of just what she's been able to do. And it's a great storyline, right? And then you have what South Carolina's done.
Right.
You have UConn's always in the mix, you know. And so I just think the games have been really competitive across the board, and it's really helped, you know, ignite something that's really positive for girls basketball and women's basketball.
Yeah, KK Arnold, how about her for Connecticut? Yeah, she's making her impact.
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about that in terms of a WIA meeting/WBCA meeting, and just highlighting more things that some of our great girls basketball kids are doing out in, you know, at the collegiate level. And just putting a face and named and with our state, obviously, you know, you got Caitlin Clark, but you know, we have KK Arnold, and she had a great tournament in terms of, especially that last game, right? Mm-hmm. Even though they didn't win it, she really, you know, came out firing and things like that, and that's really impressive for a freshman to come do that. You know, we'll have Allie Zabel going out next year, and obviously, Iowa's got two Wisconsin kids coming. You know, hopefully at some point they, you know, stay in the state and can bolster, you know, what's happening with our UW women and, you know, Green Bay or Marquette, Milwaukee. So, you know, there's a lot of great stories that I think right now that we can go out and find and highlight, and then that's the role models that you know the younger kids are going to look up to.
Such a great point from Coach Staub from Edgewood here on Zimbraconda's Prep Mania. Alex Stroop, Dennis Semrau with you. Coach, let's go back to that state title game. You're down 8 at halftime. I'm just curious what the message was to your girls in the locker room that allowed you to pull out that 3-point win over Xavier in the Division III state championship game. Because 8 points, that's certainly not a small margin, but clearly one you were able to come back and beat.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I thought our bench did a nice job keeping it within in a margin that we could come back from, because we were in foul, what we consider foul trouble. You know, obviously, me as a coach right now, you know, I'm not usually playing kids with 2 fouls, although, you know, I've got to grow in that area and trust them a little bit more. But we had Taya down with 2, and she went out with 11 minutes to go, I think, in that first half, which is a long time to be out with, you know, your point guard leader. And then Aaron went out with 2. And so I think Beanie was, maybe she was out. I think we had 3 kids sitting there for a little bit. But we thought that because it was only 8 and we'd come back from other ones like that, and we have a pretty explosive offense, that we just weren't shooting very well. And then we really weren't defending as well as we could have. So I thought that our bench did a great job. I thought that my assistants did a great job of just saying, hey, just the message has got to be that we've come back from, like, we played tougher teams like Laconia and have come back in tighter games. So just trust the process, Stav. And, you know, that's why you have good people around you that kind of, you know, put it in perspective. And then we gave probably the kids confidence in terms of being able to do that. And they just are very methodical about what they do. I didn't think they looked rattled at all. And, you know, they just figured out a way, and we started hitting shots and defending a lot better and rebounding. You know, I think, you know, I'm with the Pat Summit era, you know, type of mentality that, you know, offense sells tickets, defense wins games, but rebounding is going to win you championships. And we've done those pretty well, especially down the stretch.
I think the word poise is probably what describes your team the most. Hunter and I called the regional semi and final. And Anna Miller, freshman, I mean, your sophomores, freshmen play like upperclassmen.
Yeah, and that's a tribute to, you know, obviously their upbringing and just playing the game, right? So obviously they've had that in their, you know, their upbringing. And the other thing that has to happen with that is you have to have upperclassmen that allow the younger kids to be themselves and to do what they can do, right? And I'm going to say it, Taya Fernandez, she has a lot of offensive tools, and she can flat out score. But she this year was like, you know, we've got other kids that can score. I'm going to really be a facilitator. And so she sacrificed a lot of her scoring and hunting her own shot for the goodness of the team and to make what we did happen, which is winning a gold ball. I think it was a big part of, you know, her and her willing to sacrifice, you know, shot selection and things like that and buy in. And she let, you know, Anna Miller be Anna Miller. It probably cost her, you know, first team all conference, you know, unfortunately in our conference, which, you know, it's sad, but, you know, you got to appreciate what she's done. So
I wanted to talk to you when I tried to reach you the other day. You were in a WIA meeting. The shot clock. What's the status right now? And what are your thoughts on that?
The great debate.
It's always going to be a debate. It depends on, you know. It's not like I played with a shot clock. I mean, we play in a style that I think we play, you know, fast. But we can also, you know, anyone I've talked to, time and situation, obviously, you know, we're going to move the ball a little bit more if we've got the lead and depending on who we're playing and what the foul situation is. But in general, I'm a big proponent for it. I was on the committee that, you know, it got passed and then it got rescinded. So that was kind of, you know, obviously a sad moment, but, I think it's coming. I don't know when. It may be, you know, 10 years, you know, I don't know. But there's almost 30 schools in the, you know, in the United, or 30 states that have it now. And so I think once the Federation, like, you know, gets more and more, you know, states you know, put it in, then Wisconsin's going to have no alternative other than to, you know, put it in and make it a part of the fabric of what we do. Like anything, remember, I think at our WI meeting, we were talking about WBCA meeting. It was talking about what, remember the 3-point line, right? 3-point line was like, oh my God, we're ruining basketball. Right. Look what's happened. Some people argue it's ruined because there's so many 3-pointers. Right. But I don't know. I think, it's really enhanced and spread out the game a little bit. And so, you know, we always have moments like this where things have changed, right? You went from quarters to halves, and that was going to ruin it, right? But, you know, I think that we have to get to a point where we can allow it to get more data in terms of the schools that already have it in their schools, and then we can play in some tournaments or non-conference games. And people who might be a little worried about it, just the playing part of it, not the financial part, can at least get an opportunity, and then they can make a judgment, right? And otherwise, you know, it gives us some time to figure out how it would be paid for, and, you know, can the WBCA help, or, you know, do we get sponsors, things like that. So, you know, everything progresses. That's what I think.
I think you're spot on. Coach Laura Stavnis with us here on Prep Mania. Alex Stroff, Dennis Semrau with you in downtown Madison. Coach Stav, I want to go back to something you were talking about before when we were talking about the state championship game, and that was you evaluating yourself. You became the head coach at Edgewood in 1993. You've been doing this a long time, and you're still finding ways to get better as a head coach. What keeps you coming back? What keeps you thinking, hey, I can improve in this area or I can improve in that area? How are you wired that way? Because I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, I just think that when you're younger, you know, you're just trying. I started out when I was 23, and so not that I didn't have mentors, but they were from a distance, and not that Edgewood didn't have mentors here, but, you know, it's just such a different, you know, you look at, it's a different lens you're looking at things, and, you know, all the people talk as you get older, you see things in a different, you know, viewpoint, vantage point and things like that, and I think right now, in terms of basketball, I mean, obviously I want to win, you know, I mean, it's always a debate. What do you want to do as a coach? You know, what are you in for? And I love basketball. I'm passionate about it. I wanted to stay involved in the game, and coaching was it. I want to win. I hate losing, but, and they'll be like, well, is that the only reason, you know, I'm in it for the, you know, the kids and growing people. I'm like, yeah, but you really got in it because you love the game, right? And you want to take your, like, love for the game and pass it along to people who also play the game. And so how you do that, you know, I think I've evolved in that, you know. I've tried to really, like, step back and not be, you know, I'm just loud because of Fayed. I have a Fayed booming voice, right? And so it looks like I'm always yelling. And I have, like, Pat Summit was, like, someone I looked up to, right? And she had that deaf stare, right? Like, you just didn't cry. Well, I have more of that. I get that from my mother. So people are like, oh, my God, she's so intimidating. But I'm really, at the end of the day, really soft, and probably too soft, my coaches will say. But I just have that, like, I'm very serious and look, you know, like, look about. So I've tried to grow in that. And I just think right now the whole big thing is I look at our culture and our environment. And what do I want? What do you want? What do I want my legacy to be? What do I want my program's legacy to be? What do I want each team's legacy to be? So these seniors help instill something this year, and I want them to feel good about it. And so my juniors are going to be seniors, and the question will be, what thing do you want people to carry on? You know, not that you just won a gold ball. I mean, because that will be a fleeting moment, right? We had moments. It was great. It was awesome. All right. And then you check the box. So what else can we do, and what can we do to create this championship culture, not only with the girls basketball team, but other areas of our schooling? What does it look like to have a championship culture in a classroom, right? And so how do we grow people in that way? So I'm really interested in that, and thank God I have, like, people in my life that also are about culture, that are athletically inclined, and so I don't have all the answers. I make mistakes and trying to constantly fix and retool myself. And, you know, I said to my, we had our banquet on Sunday, and I said to the kids and the families, I just said, you know, the first time we won it, it was like, yes, right? You accomplished it. It was, I mean, that team was really super focused on it because they had lost it the year before. It was really high intense pressure. This time, and it was like six or seven kids. I said, this time, if we ever won it again, I wanted to have the entire team feel a part of it, right? Really love each other and really connect it. And that happened. All right. So that, check that box now, right? Because that's really what was so special about this one. This, if we ever have another opportunity, I told the families, I'm like, I want to look like I enjoy it more. Like, you know, I'm worried about everyone else having fun and enjoying it. And I don't know if I look like I enjoyed it nearly as much as I should have. So that's my next, you know, if it ever happens again, which may never happen again. But the journey of it, right? Like,
you bet.
You know, whether it be whatever playoff, you know, whatever it's going on, I got to look like I enjoy the season more on my face and everything else. So that's my goal next year.
Well, Coach Stav, you're still one of my son's favorite teachers in Edgewood. So thanks. Keep doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you guys for covering the prep sports and just talking sports in general. It's so great to have this still going on, right? I mean, in a world today. So I truly appreciate what you guys do for the sports and specifically girls basketball. And, you know, it just gets out the word. You know, hopefully it inspires someone else, and then that's it. So,
yeah, I would love to play for you. I don't think I can do that at 25 years old, but I'm fired up after that message. Coach Laura Stavnis from Edgewood, Division III state champion. Thanks so much, Coach Stav. Appreciate the time.
All right, thank you. You guys have a great spring.
Right back at
Take
you.
Take care.
We will continue after this. It's Zimmer Conda's presentation of Prep Mania on ESPN Madison. ZimmerConda's Prep Mania continues right here on 100.5 ESPN Madison, the ESPN app and Wisconsin On Demand. He's Dennis Semrat, the Dean of Area High School Sports. I'm Alex Stroff with you from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Excited to be joined now by an Iowa women's basketball commit from Verona, a first-team All-State selection in her senior season. It is Taylor Strimlow joining us now on Prep Mania. Taylor, heck of a season for you. How are you? The off-season treating you okay?
Thank you. Yeah, off season has been great, you know, just getting in the gym, doing some lifting, getting ready for the big freshman year. So I'm excited.
Where were you on Sunday watching Iowa in the national championship game? Ultimately, it's too bad they couldn't pull it out, but they'll have Taylor Strimlow to help with that next year. But what were you up to watching your future school in the national championship game last week?
Yeah, we had actually gotten together with some friends at like a local bar and grill. They got a big screen TV and then just a bunch of TVs on like the upper level there. So we got to get together and eat and watch the game. Yeah, like you said, wish they would have pulled it out. But, you know, it's so awesome that they got there, especially 2 years in a row. So it was just fun to watch.
You want to put a plug in for where you were?
It's called the Draft House in Verona.
All right. I was going to say that's Robert Nandis, my old buddy. That was our favorite haunt. I was going upper level, a big screen TV in Verona.
Yep.
Let me see. What place would it be at?
That's exactly it. We've gone there for a couple games, too. So it's always a fun place.
Now, you were a Miss Basketball finalist, AP, All-State, coaches All-State. The team was unbeaten to the sectional finals. Just one more win, right? You get to state. That was probably the only thing that didn't happen for you.
Yeah, I know. It was. I mean, all the awards are awesome, but I'd say that's the one thing I wanted the most, you know, to win that game. But, you know, great, good season. I'm still a little mad about it, but I'm pretty much over with it now and just ready for the future.
Now you got a little brother who's playing AU basketball. We got to see Will at the 608 tournament. I think he took like three or four charges in that game. I think he took the most charges of anybody we saw all year. What do you think of your little brother?
Yeah, I mean, he's awesome. He just loves basketball. He goes pretty much every day just putting in the work, and he's getting taller, so that's going to be on his side. The height part and getting bigger, I think he's going to be great. So keep following him. Like you said, he took three or four charges. He likes to do anything he can to help out the team. So I'm excited to see what he does next year and in the future.
So one-on-one, who's got bragging rights right now?
You know, we haven't played one-on-one in a while, but last time, he'll probably deny this, but we played with, like, a soccer ball in my sister's volleyball gym, and I hit the game-winning shot, and so pretty much it's me right now, but he would deny that for sure.
Sounds like a sibling rivalry, and National Siblings Day earlier this week, little fun fact.
Yeah,
so there,
yeah.
You go. There you get to brag on the radio about how you beat Will in one-on-one. Taylor Strembler with us here on Prep Mania. Uh-huh. Taylor, just looking back on the season, obviously you've played with this group a long time, but it was a first-year head coach for Coach Richardson.
Yeah.
What was the transition like under the first year with Lexi as the head coach?
You know, I thought it went really smooth. She, like I said, had been just coaching under Murphy and playing under her for so long that they didn't have super contrasting coaching styles, and just their feedback. You know, I had pretty similar relationships with both of them, especially near the end of the season, just feedback and telling each other what we see, what we think. You know, I think it's a first season for her, and you know that's always scary, but she hopped right into the role, and obviously we had a great team this year, so that helped. But I think she did great, and I'm excited to see what she does with the team going forward. But I think that you know, it's a scary position to be in, especially as a young female coach, and she did it awesomely. So
you know, Taylor, your sophomore year you were out with an injury. Could you have imagined 2 years ago the position you're in now? You're going to be going to play for a Big Ten school. You played for a team that only lost one game your senior year. You and Reagan, you have so many records the two of you set this year. Could you have imagined that 2 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, no. It's crazy to think about just how far I've come. Not only just as an athlete, but just how I've changed as a person, especially through that experience. Obviously, that's not something anybody wants to go through, but I think I learned so much just about myself and, like, my goals through being on the sidelines. And so that helped really, I'd say it helped me, you know, lock in and figure out what I wanted with basketball specifically. And just knowing that I've reached those goals and going, like you said, to such a successful program, and that we had such a great season this past year is amazing. And so no, I don't know as a sophomore if I would believe you, but I've always you know, had these goals for college, and just good to feel that it paid off and that, you know, I'm going to Iowa. It's pretty awesome.
Taylor Strembler from Verona with us here on Zimbraconda's Prep Mania. Alex Strofe, Dennis Semrau with you. And Taylor, you mentioned it. You're going to Iowa. It feels like you've been committed forever. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. But to see the rise of the Iowa Hawkeyes, obviously with Caitlin Clark and company in that program, making deep runs into the NCAA tournament each of the last 2 years, does it just make it feel a little bit sweeter knowing you're going to probably, I would debate, maybe the most hyped program in all of college athletics, not just women's basketball? It's on a national spotlight now. Does that make it a little bit sweeter that that's where you're headed?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I love those coaches. I'm sure I've said it a billion times. Like, the people there are just really so amazing. So it just makes it that much sweeter, like you said, to know that they're getting the recognition that they deserve, and that the program in general is just getting to be in the spotlight. And obviously, you know, Caitlin did insane things there, helping put them in the spotlight. But I've gotten to just talk to and get to know pretty much all those girls, and they all deserve just the recognition that they're getting. And it's pretty amazing to see. And it's exciting to know that I'll get to be a part of that coming up here shortly. So it just makes it more exciting, more, and a little more pressure, you know, just get ready. Got a big freshman class coming in because there's a lot of girls graduating, but you know, it's good pressure. It's exciting.
Yeah, speaking of freshmen coming in, you're going to have a new teammate who you've played with before, Tegan Mullaney from McFarland. Have you two talked since the end of the season, or are you keeping in touch and you're getting ready for are you going to be college roommates?
We're not sure yet. We don't know for sure our roommates, but that would be fun. I don't know yet along the lines of who we're rooming with, but yeah, Tegan is, I'm actually going to get lunch with her right now. So we've been in touch a little bit and doing some training together, trying to get on the same page early, get a little head start. So yeah, it's she's great and can't wait to play with her.
When do you have to report? How soon after graduation do you go to Iowa?
The next day.
No so, kidding.
Right away. Yep, we're getting right to it. And yeah, I think it's June 9th is the date exactly. But yeah, we're getting right there. And then we get home to be home in August for about a month. And so yeah, a little later in the summer, we'll get to be back home.
So do you get a couple of classes too?
Yeah, I think I'll be taking at least one for sure. Just, you know, get some credits because I'm sure during the school year it's a lot more stressful and busy. So just getting that taken care of will be nice.
And what are you going to study?
I'm studying business. I'm not exactly sure what, like, you know, there's a bunch of fields within that, so it's pretty broad. But just going into it into business is my idea. And then getting hopefully more information about the little fields within that and finding something I'm passionate about.
Taylor, I know we've talked about it before, but maybe somebody that's listening that hasn't heard you talk about it before, what stuck out about Iowa to you? Maybe the style of play, and I know you just mentioned the coaching staff. What made Iowa the right choice for Taylor Strimla?
Right. Yeah, definitely, like you said, the style of play. I love how fast they play and just the tempo and the movement of the offense. I think it fits my game really well. And then, yeah, like I said, the people, I'll say it a million times again, is just that it's all female coaching staff, which I think is really powerful as a female athlete. And just the players were super welcoming and kind of my vibe, like when I had visited there, especially when I was younger and a little more like nervous to go and talk to all these cool players. And so, yeah, it's just everybody was so welcoming. And, you know, also it doesn't hurt that they get sellouts pretty much every game, so that the people know you and you get to know a lot of women's basketball fans there, which is something that you don't find everywhere.
And you're also close to home, right? How long is the drive from Verona?
About 2.5, 2:45.
Oh, nice.
So it's not terrible at all.
So there will be a caravan of Verona Wildcats fans going to Iowa?
Hopefully. And it's nice that we probably get to play Wisconsin. So I think we'll get some family friends at that game.
No doubt. The McFarland and Verona communities can come together to travel, Dennis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. For the first time.
Dennis can get a side gig as a bus driver driving to Iowa.
I'm going to hitch a ride. I already talked to Tegan's dad, and so I got to talk to your parents. I know your mom and dad, so your parents. Advice, I mean, both your parents played college basketball, and what's it been like for them? Now with you, being recruited and actually playing at a higher level, I think, than both your parents did.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they were amazing throughout the whole journey, you know, the recruitment journey. Like you said, they had both played in college and had done some recruiting, but it's so different now than it was when both of them got recruited. So they they let me lead, and they definitely helped guide me and made sure I was taking everything into account when making a decision. But I mean, overall, they let me make a decision, and we're going to be happy for me either way. So that's just, you know, it was really reassuring just to know that they supported me no matter where I went. And, I mean, they love Iowa, too. You know, my parents had gone with me on pretty much all the visits I'd been. Yeah, all my visits there, they were with me. And they loved it just as much as I did. So I'm happy that I made a decision where they can, like you said, come watch me play. And that they feel comfortable putting me in the hands of that program. They were just amazing throughout the whole process.
Taylor, last one for me. I mean, you didn't lack on any end of the court your senior season. You were absolutely terrific. 18 points a game, 10 rebounds a game, 9 assists per game, 6 steals per game. I mean, you were atop your team in pretty much all of those categories. So what's the focus in the offseason? What are you really trying to hone in and work on as you get ready for your freshman year at Iowa?
Yeah, I mean, just still touching up on everything. College is a completely different level, and I know that, so I'm going to just be pushing myself, working on my shot a lot, just shot quickness and confidence in that, finding like a spot I'm comfortable, like a consistent spot I can like get to and be super confident there. I think that's important. And then defense, something, you know, it's definitely harder to play defense in college when everyone's more advanced. So just working on that, working on my quickness. You know, I've been doing a lot of injury prevention and the weight room and getting stronger. Everybody's bigger, stronger, faster. So just, yeah, trying to step up every level of my game and quickness, defense, yeah, everything. But a lot of shooting, a lot of ball handling, just staying sharp with all that. So
staying sharp. Staying sharp indeed. Taylor Strimmel, it's been a pleasure watching you the last couple of years in Verona. We're looking forward to seeing what you do at the next level. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you guys so much.
It's Taylor Strimmel from Verona, headed to Iowa next year here on Zimbraconda's Prep Mania. Dennis and I roll on with you after this right here on ESPN Madison. On it is Zimbraconda's presentation of Prep Mania right here on ESPN Madison. He is the Dean of Area High School Sports, Dennis Semra. I'm Alex Strope with you. Prep Mania brought to you in part by Stoughton Health. Stoughton Health provides trusted care close to home. They're proud to support all of the area's student athletes and wish all them all the best this season. From rehab to ortho care, Stoughton Health provides comfort and convenience locally. Visit stoughtonhealth.com to learn more. Stoughton Health, creating excellence together. Big thanks to Coach Laura Stavness and Taylor Strimlow from Edgewood and Verona, respectively, for helping us put a bow on the high school basketball season. Talk about the impact women's basketball has seen over the course of the last 2 years or so. Caitlin Clark, Iowa, UConn, Dawn Staley in South Carolina, and all the in-betweens. Certainly making the game much bigger, and it was really cool, Dennis, to hear both of those ladies touch on the impact and the growth of girls' basketball and women's basketball nationwide.
Yeah, the only downer locally is we can't keep the best players in the state here in Madison. Want to shout out to the women's basketball team, though, that made it to the Elite Eight for the
I think they call it the Great Eight, actually.
They call it the Great Eight,
yeah, I think it's different in the NIT. But, yeah, they did make it a nice NIT run under head coach Marissa Mosley. She's got that program headed in the right direction.
Yeah, the problem is you need upperclassmen, and they've had some great freshmen and sophomores. And this is where you start to worry about the portal, the haves and the have-nots. From a high school standpoint, you know, it's fun to watch kids, you know, go on to the next level. But it's going to become a lot more difficult, especially for kids that might be projects or ones where you can see that they need some time, a year or two, to kind of acclimate to the college game. Because you get some of the higher college programs that are going to be going, well, why should we bring a freshman or sophomore and wait a year or two for him to develop? Well, we can go poach somebody from a MAC school or
yeah.
UW Green Bay, for example. You know, here McGee for the Badgers, he'd be a 4-year starter at UW Green Bay, but he's a bench player at Wisconsin. But we need those guys. But you look at how many turnover players, both men's and women's teams at Wisconsin, have lost through the portal so far this year going on. And how many of these athletes are going to be playing at other schools?
At the Division I level, I don't know how many, right? I mean, it's about, on the men's side at least, it's at about 38% of players from last year have entered the portal. I mean, it is absurd. And you got to think, Dennis, right? Because there's going to be players that had a great year at Division II that want to make the jump to Division I, and they will. So that's not even counting Division II players that entered the portal that will be making the jump to D1. So it's going to be hard for some of these guys to find homes. And, you know, it obviously is something that needs to be addressed is the transfer portal and the name, image, likeness, because you hear all the stories and the rumors and the reports of, hey, guys are just leaving or gals are just leaving to chase the money, to chase the dollar sign. And they'll get offers of $750,000 or $1 million to go to certain schools. And that's just hard to keep up with, and that's hard to maintain.
And it's ironic because when I was growing up, there were rumors about, oh, they're going to this school because they're getting this under the table. Now it's not under the table. It's legitimate. We just don't know because with the name, image, and likeness, unless somebody wants to share their tax returns or wants to share publicly, there's no knowledge. There's no transparency of who's getting what from where.
No doubt.
And all it is that you want, if you're a fan, you want your program to get best players money can buy.
Well, you want to talk about changes. There's been plenty in the local high school football scene at the head coaching positions. We will tell you who's out and who's in. Coming up next in hour two of this edition of Zimbraconda's presentation of Prep Mania, Alex Stroff, Dennis Semrau, hanging out with you until 8 o'clock tonight. We've still got some great conversations. Spoiler alert, I'll give you one of the changes. Pat Rice retired from Wanakee. He broke that story with us here near the end of the calendar year last year from Wanakee. Chris Graverson is his replacement. We'll chat with him about 7:15 tonight. He's one of the changes, but there is plenty more in high school football. We'll update you on all of those. Coming up next, it's Zimbraconda's presentation of Prep Mania right here on ESPN Madison.
The biggest games.
Recce for three, got it to go.
The most compelling stories.
Three of the former players at Suns were on this particular Monroe team.
The area's best high school sports coverage.
Throws it down with two hands, the whole hoop is shaking.
That's a 10. That's a 10, baby.
This is Zimbrick Honda's presentation of Prep Mania on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Number two, Zimbraconda's presentation of Prep Mania right here on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and the full show podcast available commercial-free for free on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcast. Just search Prep Mania. We wrapped up the high school basketball winter sports season in hour number one. We were joined by Laura Stavnis, the Edgewood girls basketball head coach, winning a state championship back in March, and Taylor Stremlo, a senior from Verona High School who was a terrific basketball player for the Wildcats, headed to the University of Iowa, maybe the most hyped up program in all of collegiate sports right now, Iowa women's basketball. Taylor Stremlo headed there next year. She joined us in hour number one. You can find those interviews and conversations, if you missed them, on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcast. That, of course, brought to you by Zimbraconda, where for over 50 years, they've provided the Madison area with quality Honda vehicles. The trusted staff of Zimbraconda's used car dealership will save you time and reduce your car buying stress by finding the vehicle that matches your style. If you're in the market for a new Honda or a used Honda, visit Zimbraconda in Madison today or online at ZimbraConda.com. No changes here. He's still Dennis Semrau. I'm still Alex Stroff, but plenty of changes going on in the local high school football coaching scene. Dennis, we'll start with Wanakee as we broke a story last year. Pat Rice, after a terrific Hall of Fame career at Wanakee, announced his retirement from both teaching and coaching. His replacement, longtime assistant coach, Chris Graverson, who will join us coming up next segment.
Yeah, that was probably the preeminent job right in the state. Now,
no doubt.
The word is that you never want to be the one following the legend. You want to be the one following the legend. And Chris talked to us a little bit about that. But he's been part of the program. And the template has been set. He said, I'd be a fool to change a lot of stuff. But every coach is going to have their stamp they'll put on it. Thing that was most impressive, though, is how many of the coaches are back. It's pretty much intact, the coaching staff. So while some coaches can say, well, I didn't get the job, I'm going to go on, well, these guys all believe in the culture, and that is such a big factor there. The joke is, after the state championship game on Monday, three-quarters of the players from the team are in the weight room. Well, maybe the seniors who graduated were taking a couple of days off, or the basketball guys were, but all the underclassmen were back there because they knew if they wanted to get on the field the next day or the next year, they were going to have to get stronger. They were going to have to build that chemistry of the team. And the chemistry gets built not just on game day or in practices. It's on off-season workouts. It's on trips, breakfasts, and the whole culture. You know, Pat and I go way back to the early 90s. And it's been a pleasure to watch that program develop over the years. Gail Quinn was before Pat. He was the athletic director and the football coach, and Pat credits him for being such an inspiration to him. But that was, I thought, the job that's going to get a lot of interest.
Oh, I bet it did.
And what's interesting is, as good as that program has been there, you look at the Wanakee program across the board, athletics. They set the standard there. The bar is raised, so you better win in Wanakee, and the fans expect that. Now, the one factor is people complained over the years, why are they Division II? They should be Division I. Well, we have this thing called the success factor. Guess what?
You Wanakee got your
is
wish.
Division I now. and they were 2 years ago, went up against Kimberly, and Coach Graverson made the comment, yeah, okay, we're ready for the challenge. We're like, bring it on, all comers. He had a favorite saying. We'll let him say that during the interview.
Yeah, coming up at 7:15 tonight. Elsewhere in the area, like I said, Dennis, there's plenty of changes, so we got plenty to talk about. What else we got?
Yeah, well, we have a lot of them are local ties. Interesting, Milton reached out to Dan Prawl. His dad is a Hall of Fame coach from Oregon. Dan was a coach at Stoughton before he went down to Florida. Came back, was in Janesville. Now he's taken over in Milton, so he's back in the Badger Conference. Madison East, Antoine Manning, he's coming from out of state. That's the one that we'll be interested in. We'll have him hopefully as a future guest here on the show, talk about his background. Austin Battaglia is a Madison Memorial grad, taking over for Mike Harris, who stepped down to pursue more of an academic career.
Yeah.
If you want to take a look at it, the new superintendent, Joe Gothard, was a football coach at Madison Memorial, Madison La Follette, excuse me. And I remember when Joe left, I said, well, why are you stepping down? You got a really good program. He goes, Dennis, as a football coach, I can impact this many people. As a principal, this. As a superintendent,
right.
I want to have a positive impact on as many student athletes as I can. That's the path that Mike Harris wants to follow.
And
so
terrific.
We are going to miss him as a coach. Just a tremendous head coach. He's an English teacher in the school, but between that and a family and trying to finish up more schooling for an advanced degree, he had to step down from football. He just couldn't give it his all. So
too bad, but he is an all-time good guy. I've been in the Madison area covering high school sports with you, Dennis, for about 3.5 years now, and he is one of my all-time favorites. That one's not a secret.
Right, but he's one of the coaches we bring in about a dozen coaches for our roundtable in fall.
Right.
And it's like half of them either retired or just stepped down. You know, another one was Dave Pauls retiring from Lodi, and Kyle Mack. Who is actually is a special ed teacher right with Dave Pauls at Lodi High School. So they didn't have to go far to find the
no, they sure didn't.
Right there.
Right across the hallway, it sounds
right,
like. Yeah.
So we're eager to be able to talk to him. Matthew Doring will be the new coach at Lakeside Lutheran after a long reign there. Columbus, unfortunately, Coach Selgrad stepped down. And I understand there were some issues there. You take a team to a state championship and then a long run in the playoffs, and some people you just can't please. Understand that.
And Coach Selgrad actually taking another head coaching job at Ripon High School.
He's going up to Ripon, so that's Columbus's loss, but we'll see who steps in there. Watertown, Alex Krogan has taken over. Former coach stepped down to pursue some other activities, and his son graduated there too. So. But, we've got a lot of changes in the area, and I'm sure there might be one or two more here coming up down the road.
Yeah, still some vacancies to keep an eye on, and you know, I imagine with the basketball season coming to an end, we'll probably be talking about some of the changes going on there in the coming weeks. But we do make it a point over the course of the next few weeks here on Prep Mania. We're going to try to chat with as many of these new head coaches, Dennis, as we can, ahead of having them in at the end of the summer for our annual Coaches Roundtable, which is always a blast. It's 2 hours, 12 coaches, or I think we did 14 last year.
Yep.
And we just chop it up, you know, 20 minutes, 25 minutes of time. We have to air abbreviated versions because we could talk so long with those guys. But it is such a blast every year talking football and getting ready for the football season.
Yeah, we already reached out. Austin from Memorial will be our coach next week, and he's already agreed to be part of that. And Mike Wolfgram over at Madison West, what's interesting is three of the four city coaches are at their alma maters, at La Follette, Memorial, and West. So I like that. And that's another thing we'll talk about with the city. You've got a second-year coach at La Follette, a first-year coach at East, a first-year coach at Memorial, and a third-year coach at West. Now if we can keep them here for a while, because it's continuity. You can't be changing every couple of years.
Right. We were talking off the air. You mentioned those four schools. Jesse Norris, the head coach at Edgewood, he's entering his sixth season. And he's already the longest tenured in the city. That's pretty wild.
Well, yeah, he'll be part of that. He and Brett over at
Mount Horeb-Barneveld.
Yeah, they'll be part of our group again. But that's one of the most fun things. And you might say, well, we're just starting spring sports. No, we've been talking about football for about a month, looking at schedules. And we'll have our schedule, our reveal, our last show of the spring right before the state track meet.
Absolutely. He's Dennis Semra. I'm Alex Stroff with you from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. As mentioned, Chris Graverson, the new head coach at Wanakee, will join us next. Lena Gustafson, a senior lacrosse player and volleyball player at Middleton High School, pursuing college to play lacrosse, also study journalism at Emerson College in Boston, Massachusetts next year. Will join us right after him. We'll do another back-to-back interview coming up next here on Zimbraconda's Prep Mania, brought to you in part by Stoughton Health, which provides trusted care close to home. They're proud to support all of the area's student-athletes and wish them all the best this season. From rehab to ortho care, Stoughton Health provides comfort and convenience locally. Visit stoughtonhealth.com to learn more. You ready to talk some football?
Here we go.
Here we go. Chris Graverson, Wanakee head coach, joins us next right here on Zimbraconda's presentation of Prep Mania. Going on, it is Zimbraconda's presentation of Prep Mania right here at 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand. Alex Stroke, Dennis Semrau with you from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. We go to the phone lines now. Excited to be joined now by the new head coach at Wanakee, the institution known as Wanakee. Chris Graverson joins us now, taking over for the legendary Pat Rice this upcoming season for Wanakee football. Chris, thanks so much for the time. I imagine it's been a quiet couple of months for you, my friend.
Yeah, there's been some moments of kind of wondering, what did we do here? My wife and I have had a couple of chuckles about it. And, you know, a couple of guys at the clinic this past weekend had similar comments of, are you crazy? What are you, you know, so those are some pretty big shoes to fill. But, no, it's been really good. We've got the kids are getting after it. It's been good. It's been very busy. But it's been a good transition so far. And Pat's been incredibly helpful with it as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Chris, I know you make the joke, right? What have we gotten ourselves into? But I imagine, you know, when you're taking over for somebody that did it for 30 years, he can write you as many handbooks as he wants to. But I imagine every day you're figuring something out, like, oh, okay, I got to do this, right? I mean, are you having a lot of those moments?
Yeah, there are. I mean, there's definitely a learning curve. You know, I've been fortunate to work under a number of pretty good coaches, so I've seen it happen a lot of ways, whether it's Larry Green and Jim Stroman down at Pecatonica, or the guys up in Reedsburg with Brian Pottinger and now coming to this staff for the past, you know, 7-8 years. I've seen a lot of different ways to do it. When the decision's yours to make, you know, that's always kind of changes the scenario a little bit. So there's definitely a learning curve. You know, Pat and I, when he was coaching, we'd talk 3, 4, 5 times a week for multiple hours. My wife always would look when the call came and give me a wave, and she'd head to bed. but the conversations have been reduced in number, but they're not gone. You know, he's still living here. He's still around the area. I just actually saw him about 5 minutes ago, and you know, he's a good friend. He's a good mentor, and he's always a phone call away if there's, you know, a scenario. And there's been multiple where the question comes up, like, hey, would I be setting precedent by doing this? Would this, you know, was this out of bounds for anything that you'd done in the past? And so it's nice because he's willing and he's, you know, available. He's close by. So, yeah, there's been some learning curves, some transitional things that have been challenging. But I feel like, you know, a lot of the preparation that I've had under those previous coaches and the availability of Pat has smoothed out quite a few of those bumps along the way.
Well, Chris, we were talking the other night about the template that he has. I remember when we used to have the playoffs, you'd finish like on a Wednesday, Thursday, and you'd play the following Tuesday. And then they took that away. We had an 8-week season. And Brian Smith, the AD at the time, said Pat didn't know what to do. The template was screwed up. Well, you've got that in place, and you've been part of that. So, you know, on any certain day, you know, kind of know what to expect, don't you? Here's what we're working on today or this meeting on Sunday.
Yeah, and, you know, something that's really helped keep that template in place is the coaching staff is, you know, by and large intact. And it's a testament to kind of the culture that's been built here is, you know, I think I told you, Dennis, the other night, is it's always an honor to get offered a job, specifically a job kind of with the notoriety and whatnot that goes with this program based on the success of the previous 30 years. But to me, it was quite an honor that when they offered me the job, I accepted it. The coaches around here were all on board. They're excited about it. And, you know, it's never been about one guy. And Pat gets kind of is the face of it, or had been the face of it, and but internally within our staff, it was all of us, and I think that culture has really carried over now, and I'm I'm the front of it, but it's still the group of us, and it's the all the guys that we work with day to day doing the work. And you know, Sunday night meetings that you called the other night, and it's like, yeah, well, we're talking some ball here. That's not just one guy meeting; that's a whole group of guys meeting, and it's a lot of guys spending time and preparing for meetings and preparing for the season. And you know, that culture that Pat set has legs beyond him being gone. And so to me, the job offer was quite an honor. But so, yeah, there's a template, but the template keeps going. The coaches are still here. The guys that I work with day in, day out, we're the ones grinding with the kids in the weight room all season, in the off season. And it's a lot of those guys are still here, and it feels pretty good.
Chris Graverson, the new head coach at Wanakee Football, joining us here on Zimbraconda's presentation of Prep Mania. And Chris, you mentioned some of the off-season routines, right? Getting in the weight room and some of the contact days obviously coming up, not until the summer. But how do you game plan for something like this? I know you've been in the locker room for several seasons as the defensive coordinator, but how do you game plan for as a first-year head coach? I mean, I imagine it's a whirlwind. You have some of the template, as we keep referring to, but I imagine you're just chomping at the bit to get to some of those contact days and ultimately practice in August.
Yeah, you know, Pat and I were just laughing. He's like, yeah, this is the part of the kind of part of the football season that's the not-so-fun part. It's the organization. It's the administrative stuff, getting things set up. So, yeah, absolutely. The fun part gets to be when we're on the field with the kids and, you know, they've been working their tails off in the weight room, and we get a chance to kind of, we say hay's in the barn, they get to get paid for their work once the season starts, and contact days begin a start of that. You know, as far as you know, taking over for him, I'm not Pat. I'm not going to try to be Pat. He's done it better than anyone's ever done it, in my opinion. And you know, there were some conversations that I had with a couple of other coaches around the state of like, hey, how do I gauge success? You know, the success factor can't be, hey, do it better than the person before you that did it better than anyone's ever done it before. Yeah, I don't know if that's necessarily a fair bar. And I talked to Pat about it, and he goes, you know, Chris, our plan was never to, you know, be the coach with the highest state winning percentage or highest winning percentage in the state. That wasn't the plan from the onset. The plan was to create a great experience, positive experience for kids, and something, make a program that people want to be involved in. And there's people from all angles trying to get involved in your program because they want to be part of something productive and positive, both in the school and the community. If you can say that you've done that, you've been successful. And, you know, we're still, by all means, we're going to do our best to win games and keep winning games and keep it the success going that way. But when you hear a guy like Pat say that was never his barometer for success necessarily, was the wins. If you do the other things right, the wins and losses kind of help take care of themselves a little bit.
Yeah, Chris, you just spent some time with the Coaches Clinic, which is hosted by the UW. It's got to be one of the largest in the country, other than probably Texas, where football's a religion down south, we know. Did you pick up anything from the clinic? And Pat got to speak. What was that experience like? Did he share any secrets, or is he going to keep a couple things in since you plan on following a lot of those?
Yeah, you know, some of the stuff that we've built scheme-wise here, I think Pat's going to keep those close to his chest. You know, he'll be the first to tell you. He's got a Patism, if you will, that the secret is that there is no secret. And so his speech was, you know, a lot about, here's all the different things that he's done over 30 years. But, you know, we talked about the template earlier, but the willingness to change and the willingness to update, has got to be part of the plan. You got to stay ahead of change. You got to see what's coming and have a plan before it gets there, not be kind of caught off guard when it gets there. So, you know, I found myself, I went and listened to Pat along with the majority of the guys on staff. And here's this guy that I've spent quite a bit of time with over the past 8 years. And, you know, I've been watching from a distance prior to that. And I find myself taking notes while he's talking. So yeah, I think if you keep your ears open, you can learn something from everyone. We got to see Coach Hensler from Badger speak, which was hard at times, as that was our last game and ended in dramatic fashion. It was an exciting game for people to watch and was tough to be a part of. But, you know, you listen to a guy like that that's done it well for a long time, and there's things to pick up there. And, it's such a great clinic. WFCA, the Coaches Association, does a good job of putting that thing on every year and having good speakers. And, the other really nice part about that clinic is it's, as Dennis, we talked about the other night, the Final Four is a place for kind of everyone that's involved in college basketball to get together. And the coaches that have moved on from, the University of Wisconsin, Greg Gard gets to see him at that thing, and it's kind of a gathering place. Well, the WFCA clinic is kind of that for football coaches across the state of Wisconsin. So, I was able to catch up with Skylar Leibseit, who's the offensive coordinator at Kakana, which we got to play this year. Skylar and I coached together in Reedsburg for a year, and I got to catch up with Larry Green, who a couple of our players from Pecatonica are now coaching, including his son. And so I got to see those guys, and it's a little bit of this ability to see old friends that maybe you've moved on or they've moved on, but it's the one time a year where everybody gets together, and the coaching fraternity, if you will, gets to have some camaraderie and join together and catch up, and that's really cool. And you meet new coaches along the way. You talk to coaches you've met along the way again, and it's a really cool experience. And having it be so close to home is great as well. So,
this is the second year with the new staff at the UW. How has that gone over in the state recruiting wise? Being that you have a player, Rob Booker, the second, who's a Badger, which we were there. Interesting. We did a profile on him, and he was going to UCLA. And the next time we saw him, he's going to be a Badger. So, what's it like with that staff?
Yeah, the staff has been great. Coach Fickell came in, shortly after getting hired. I think it was within a couple of days of him getting off the plane. He was in our school, and Pat and I met with him for a while. And great down-to-earth guy. They've actually already cycled through kind of the regional coordinator. They're great. The staff is good. They're making an intention of having a good relationship with the coaches, the high school football coaches in Wisconsin. They've invited all the coaches. We can go watch any Badger practice that we want, including on Saturday. So a couple of our coaches went over there and were able to watch Robin practice. And, it's always kind of rewarding to see one of your guys at playing football at a high level like that. But the coaching staff from Wisconsin's has been great. They seem to be a down-to-earth crew. They work hard. They want what's right for kids. You don't feel like you're talking to a used car salesman by any means. And it's a positive thing, in my opinion, going forward. I think they're doing things the right way, and hopefully that pans out for them on the field and with those results. But they're doing a good job.
Now, Pat did not leave the cupboard bare. What do you got coming back? What are you looking forward to? And we talked, too, about the success factor. Guess who's now in Division One? Right? You guys are going to be Division One starting this year again.
Yeah. So regardless of the enrollment, how that shakes out, we're bumped up a division. So whether it's enrollment or the success factor, we'll be in Division One, which is – it's a cool challenge. We've looked at it as a challenge a couple of years ago, and we ran into Kimberly in the playoffs. The D1, D2 kind of which one's better. Some years it's D2, I feel like, has some more challenges, but the depth of the field in D1, your first round and second round games are, pretty solid opponents with big physical kids. And so we're looking at it as a challenge. It's not a roadblock by any means. It's another thing to overcome. And it is what it is. It's the system that the coaches have kind of, or the schools have agreed upon doing. They're doing it at all levels of all sports. And so it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But But yeah, we're just looking at it as another challenge. We kind of have a mantra around here of anyone, anytime, anywhere, and it, you know, we're just going to prepare the best we can to beat whoever they put in front of us. And if that's in the D1 field, that's in the D1 field. If it's D2, that's fine too. And it's a, you know, when we're having those discussions of how do you measure success, there is one mountain that hasn't been climbed here yet, and that is the one. That's the peak. As you're standing on these other mountains, and Pat's led us up those mountains, there is one peak that hasn't been climbed, and that's not, you know, out of our mindset. But just like everything else, we don't necessarily focus on the end goal. It's the steps to get there, and if day in, day out, you're willing to put in the work, and you're doing your best and doing due diligence on everything else, you're just going to kind of resign to the outcome. You've done everything you can. You've put in the work. You've been prepared, and the results are the results. And it's one of those things you don't have control over. You have control over your preparation. So we really try to focus on that with whether it's our staff or our kids.
Anyone, anytime, anywhere, the mantra of Wanakee football. And the new head coach, Chris Graverson, here on Zimbraconda's Prep Mania. Chris, congratulations, and thank you so much for the time. We'll catch up as we get closer to the season.
Yeah, well, thank you guys for all that you do covering high school sports. It's been kind of a shrinking area of coverage, but not with you guys, and we appreciate it. You know, it's important to the kids. It's important to our communities. And so I just wanted to say thanks to the two of you and all your colleagues that kind of help give the recognition to high school sports that you guys do.
Thanks for saying that. We love doing it, and we will continue to do it. That's Chris Graverson, the new head coach at Wanakee. We'll roll on next. It's Zimbraconda's presentation of Prep Mania. This ain't a good time, but when is it ever? Rolling on, it's Zimbraconda's presentation of Prep Mania, right here at 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and with Scott's on demand. He is Dennis Semra. I'm Alex Stroke with you from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. Excited to be joined now over the phone by Lena Gustafson. She's a senior lacrosse player at Middleton High School, headed to Emerson College in Boston next year. Lena, first off, congratulations on Emerson. That's fantastic. How's the lacrosse season going in your senior year?
Well, thank you so much. We're super excited to get started. We're supposed to have our first game last week, but we're going to have it this week instead. We're playing Bayport at home on Thursday, so we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, the spring sports that are outside, not easy to get it going. The weather's a little bipolar this time of year, Lena. What's the practices been like? Have you been outside? Have you been inside? A little bit of both?
It's been a little bit of everything. We're trying to be outside as much as we can, but when we have to be inside, we're making the most of it. We've had a lot of random team workouts, team activities and stuff, just to stay together, even if we can't be out on the field. So.
Well, you know, Lena, you know the weather's got to be bad. Lacrosse is like soccer. You're playing everything, pretty much, except if it's lightning.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen them play in lightning, too, before, to be honest. And now you've got the great turf stadium over at Breitenbach Stadium on the campus there. So that helps.
Yeah.
We were
playing in hail on Monday.
Yeah, that's right. Hail, rain, snow. Wait 5 minutes, it'll change, right? This is Wisconsin. How's your experience? When did you first become aware of lacrosse and become enamored, I guess, with the sport?
Yeah, so I actually heard about lacrosse through my brother. He started when I was in second grade. He started playing, and then I joined the Middleton Youth Lacrosse Club when I was in fifth grade. And honestly, I've just been in love with it ever since. I switched from playing softball to playing lacrosse. And the switch in speed, the switch in team community and everything, it was just, I knew from the moment I started playing, like, this is a sport for me. And then I started playing. I played on a couple different lacrosse club teams throughout my, like, middle school, start of high school. When COVID hit, that was really tough because we had to postpone our freshman and eighth grade seasons. But as soon as we got started back up in the spring of my freshman year, it's just been such a great experience. I've been on varsity since freshman year. We had a new coach come in my junior year, and it's just been such a positive experience all around. All the teams I've been on have just been amazing.
Yeah, and 20 seniors, if I'm not mistaken, right? I mean, how long have you been playing with some of your teammates?
Well, we only have 11.
No, that's the boys.
Team has 20
that's
seniors.
The boys.
Oh, it's 11.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
But, you know, it's been amazing. A couple of the girls I've been playing with ever since fifth grade when I started, and we just know each other so well, and it's it's really just been so fun seeing the people who join in. Maybe it's their first time playing and they're trying out junior year or they're trying out senior year, and everybody's been so welcoming no matter the skill level. And but for the people I've been playing with since I was in grade school, there's just such a connection out on the field. It's such a cool thing to play.
You also played volleyball all 4 years?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, a couple of the girls I played volleyball with, I've played lacrosse with for just as long. So we've stuck together through both sports, which is really cool.
Did you have a winter sport in high school?
I used to play basketball, but that didn't last very long.
What do you like? There's a difference between the guys' game and the girls' game, the physicality, but there's a big reason why, right? We talked about it last night.
Yeah, for sure. Honestly, it's like comparing softball and baseball, but if baseball, they were hitting each other with the bats instead. So it's like the same kind of speed and agility, but lacrosse for girls is a lot more about the finesse and the field positioning versus the physicality and the aggressiveness of the guys' game. I think they're both equally fun to play, equally fun to watch, but they are very different games.
And you said the girls don't have pads. The guys do, because you can't hit each other with sticks like the guys can, right?
No, yeah. There is definitely a lot of physicality. I think kind of similar to like a basketball kind of physicality where there's boxing out, you know, there's on-body defense. But girls, there's no stick-to-body contact, and there's less overall just on-body contact versus the guys' game. It's more of like not like tackling like in football, but there is definitely a lot of throwing each other around out there, and they can have a lot more stick to body contact than girls are allowed to.
Now, this is the first year that the WI has sponsored lacrosse as a sport, so it'll be treated like a varsity sport. Now, Middleton and I think it's Wanakee and Sun Prairie, the schools that actually treated it like a varsity sport, right? Grades and everything. So the transition hasn't been too tough, has it?
Yeah, I know, honestly, the whole feeling of the sport hasn't really changed at all. Like, last year we were still doing the whole team posters. We were treated the same way by the school, no matter what we were classified as. I think a lot of it comes down to the coaching side when it's WIA. There's been a lot of scheduling transitions and reffing headaches that have come with it this season. But for the player side, it hasn't been too big of a change.
That's great. Lena Gustafson with us, a senior lacrosse player at Middleton High School. And Lena, I mentioned it at the top, Emerson College in Boston next year to play lacrosse as well. To talk about that process that you ultimately wound up choosing Emerson College, what are you looking forward to be out in Boston?
Yeah, I'm super excited. I always kind of thought I wanted to play after high school, but I'm really big into academics. Journalism is my major focus. And I was doubting the fact that I could find a school where I could chase both like academic journalism and also be on a lacrosse team that's good for my level. So I went through the whole recruiting process. I had a lot of coaches and teams that helped me with that. But at the start of this year, I reached out to the coach and it just became a perfect fit. And I was able to visit the campus this summer, meet the team, and I'm super excited to get out there and play D3 after high school.
No wonder Dennis was excited to talk to you today, Lena. Journalism major. That makes sense.
Yeah, and I understand Syracuse was also in the mix?
It was, yeah. And that one would be fun. I'd just play club lacrosse. The collegiate club lacrosse in the East Coast is really just as strong as any D3 team. But I ended up just loving the small town, the small campus feel, and the team community at Emerson really was what enticed me to go there instead. I love Syracuse, though, don't get me wrong.
That's fantastic. Congratulations on that. That's so cool. How about,
thank you so much.
We mentioned your first game coming up next week against Bayport. How are we looking on that one? What's Bayport like? I bet you're just itching to get out there, right?
I really am, yeah. I think we're all just excited to get out there and play as a team. I don't really know much about Bayport. They're a little bit outside of our conference, right? So we don't get to play with them too much, but it'll be exciting to see that matchup. I think it's going to be a good game, a good competitive game.
I want to give any shout outs to any of your teammates. What do you like about this version of the Cardinals your senior year? What do you like on the team? Any players to kind of look out for?
Oh, absolutely. We have so many. Our seniors this year are so strong. We have a couple juniors coming back that are just amazing. the Tubbs twins, Abby and Emma Tubbs, and Sophia Wild are our captains, and those are the ones to watch. I mean, they're just incredible. We've all played together since fifth or sixth grade, and they are just amazing to watch. So definitely look out for them. And our we have a couple new underclassmen this year that are really pulling their weight and looking amazing. So I'm excited to see how we all fit together on the field.
Now, you're a midfielder?
Yeah, yep. And so, I usually take the draw, or I'm on the circle on the draw, which is a little different than the guys' game, but it's kind of like a tip-off in basketball.
Yeah. What's the favorite part of lacrosse you like? What attracts you to the game?
I love the speed of it. There's a saying people call lacrosse the fastest game on 2 feet, and it really is just there's always something happening. There's always something exciting to be paying attention to, and your head is always going 1,000 miles an hour. But apart from the actual sport, the team community is so, so positive. At Middleton, especially at all the club teams I've been on, it's just everyone's so excited to get out there and play. It's a growing sport, and there's just so much excitement to be playing lacrosse together. And it's just such a great culture.
Fantastic. Lena Gustafson from Middleton High School. Lena, congratulations on everything. Have a great senior season, and we'll be watching the Cardinals in a WIA-sanctioned fashion. Very exciting. Congrats, Lena.
Thank you so much, guys.
We'll roll on after this. It's Zimmer Condo's presentation of Prep Mania.
Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around.
Wrapping up tonight's edition of Zimmer Condo's presentation of Prep Mania on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and available the entire podcast commercial-free for free on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcast. A big thanks to all of our guests tonight. Head coach Laura Stavnis at Edgewood, Taylor Stremlow from Verona, headed off to Iowa to play women's basketball next year. New Wanakee head coach Chris Graverson and Middleton senior Lena Gustafson, our guest tonight on Prep Mania. Dennis, it was a bunch of fun conversations. Always good to talk some high school sports, especially when we get the airtime to do it for 2 hours tonight.
Yeah, it's you look at the basketball season. It's amazing how fast that went.
Ugh. Every year.
Yeah, every year it seems you're like, geez. What happened? We're done already. Yeah, I thought it was cool. The NCAA tournament was not going on the same time that our high school boys tournament. The Big Ten tournament was going on that week, and the week before, the girls' state tournament was the end of the regular season,
right,
for the colleges. So, it's be interesting to see changes again. Now this is the time of the year we get coaches changes. What's going to happen? Who's in? Who's out? And unfortunately, it's not always for good reasons. You get some retirements, but the expectation level at some of the communities. I thought when we had the pandemic, the people would kind of chill a little bit, be glad we have high school sports. But you go to some of the games, and you still get people that are kind of out of control. And I remember John Boyle, the old coach at Easton and Middleton, said, "Let coaches coach, players play, fans cheer, and officials officiate. When all four do their jobs, it's a good thing. When one starts to... the fans are ripping on the officials, or the players are complaining about coaching and stuff. It all goes out of whack." And for the most part, I thought we had a really good year. We had some great coaches.
We saw, at least when me and you did games together, I can't speak for any of the other games you did, I saw zero people get ejected from games. That's a win.
Yeah. And the best part was now, coming out of the pandemic now a few years, the bands, getting the bands, the student section.
That's your favorite.
How creative. Well, part of that is Jesse was in a band. He played the band in high school in Muskego. So I always used to tease him about, how to rate the band here.
Yep.
Now, it was funny, back when the state tournament was at the Fieldhouse, we used to, Dennis Labissonier, connected with him, longtime friend from the athletic department. And he worked in the Big Ten office. We would count how many songs the bands played. That they had one called The Horse, which was a great instrumental. And we might hear that 15 times during the state tournament. Or, you know, it was like, okay, what's the hit song that all the bands are playing? Or the band that had the electric guitar, and not just the drums, but it was like the full ensemble. And we'd rate the bands, too, just like the game. Sometimes if the game's not, you know, it's a blowout, okay, what else can we have to amuse ourselves here? And so it was a fun run. I thought the girls' tournament up in Green Bay, I wish it was in Madison, but Green Bay has treated it well at the Rush Center and Ashwaubenon. And again, I look in boys and girls basketball in the state. It's just
tremendous, the number of players that are playing at the collegiate level.
Absolutely.
And one of the best conferences in the country is the WIAC, men's and women's. You look at, you know, the Whitewaters and the Platteville's and Stevens Point's and lacrosse.
Thank you for saying Stevens Point and not Oshkosh, where Hunter Vaughn went. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you know, my son's a Whitewater grad, so you're a Point grad. I mean, it's one of the things people always seem to get wrapped up in going D1. It's not the level. It's just playing at the next level.
Yeah.
And you can get a great experience. Some people want to go and play for D1 and sit the bench for 4 years. Others say, no, I want to play for 4 years. So they're going to pick another level. And that was emphasized when I was coaching one of my kids growing up. One of the dads helping out was like a 6'8", 6'9 center. And so where'd you play? He goes, some small school in Colorado. People thought, oh, I should go Big Ten or I should do this. He goes, no, I found my niche. I had 4 years. It was great. I found a love for the outdoors when I was out there. And he ended back up in Middleton, but it was that reminder of just find a situation you're comfortable with.
Absolutely.
So as much as I grew up rooting for Marquette, Milwaukee. I'm a Badger fan, long time as a grad. I just want our kids to go someplace where they're going to find a place where they're comfortable. Now with this portal thing, you got too many players bouncing back. You know, AJ Storr, 7 schools in 7 years. I'm sorry, Yeldon didn't even get to play for the Badgers this year. Now he's going to be going for a 6th school in 6 years. There's something wrong with that.
I agree.
But still, on the other side, if you have a bad situation, you should get a chance to move. Coaches
Connor Seajan.
So Connor, we're going to miss him because I think there were just no minutes there for him. He ends up at Michigan shooting 20 points a game on us with threes like Domask did at Illinois.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to be regretting that one.
Yeah.
That was another one. But when Domask came in the college, he wasn't quite ready for that level. But this year he was at Illinois, and he had a tremendous year.
Yeah, and he was in the state of Illinois, you know, for I think it was 3 or 4 years. 4 years, I think.
Southern Illinois, yeah.
Yeah, and then he moves up to normal Illinois, I guess is what we could call it in that sense.
Well, look at Max Klusman, where he started out.
Yeah, and Wofford, right.
Wofford and what he's done for us the last couple of years. And, you know, that's a guy, you know.
There are benefits to it, but there are also problems with it. Like most things in life, I guess, would be the point
so
here.
So you're hoping that they can kind of fix that. You know, Barry Alvarez was on our station talking about how the NIL and that's going to, you know, kill college football. And you hope not, but with as many minds as we have in this country, somebody's got to be able to figure it out.
Doubt.
You think, right?
I vote Mark Tauscher to get on the case. I think he's the smartest on stuff like that. Well, Dennis, we've got about 60 seconds. Spring sports are here. Has the weather been cooperating for you as you go out and do your journalistic duties?
Well, I feel for the teams that went down to Florida, you know, did their spring trips.
Yeah.
Because they got outside for a week and came back here and got stuck in a gym for a week and a half or 2 weeks. But we're looking at teams to watch. We'll just do a little baseball quick hit. Sun Prairie East, favored in the Big Eight. Monona Grove in the Badger Large. And Edgewood in the Badger Small. Three teams to look at. We'll be talking about more baseball. Softball, we've got some great programs against Sun Prairie East program in Verona. And hoping the Middleton Cardinals are going to be in the running this year. Of course, that's my district, so I've got to put a plug in for the Cardinals.
Hey, you made it up until about 7:56 p.m. before talking about your rooting interests, so nicely done.
But, no, it's looking forward to lacrosse. I can't wait to get out and cover my first game now that's a WIA sport. Back in 2017, I covered Sauk Prairie when they won the Division II title in what was the Wisconsin Lacrosse Federation. Now they're a varsity sport, and so it's great for the kids. All conference and recognition and the state championship in Sun Prairie.
You know what makes Dennis Semrau a world-class journalist is I asked him the other day because he told me the lacrosse news. I said to him, what do you know about lacrosse? And he actually explained it perfectly. I was shocked by his knowledge, not having covered a ton of lacrosse, I assume, in your career, Dennis. So.
No, well, after having three previews for the Middleton, the Mount Harbor, and the Sauk newspaper.
You learned a lot.
I'm geared up, ready to roll.
He's the man. Dennis Semrau, Alex Stripper, back with you next week. It's Zipper Conda's presentation of Prep Mania. Thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll talk to you next week.